One of the hardest things to do is to look at your problems as opportunities.
If you're acceptable to your peers and you behave well, they'll accept you. And then they tell you all the time if you're acting appropriately. You know, if your jokes are funny, if you're dominating the conversation, if you're bringing something of value to the table. And all you have to do is pay attention to the social cues and you'll keep yourself regulated. Do not allow yourself to become arrogant, deceitful, or resentful. I might have the order wrong there, but that's the chapter. Yeah, it opens with a discussion of why you would get resentful. It's like, well, culture is arrayed against you, so you're the target of tyrannical forces that are beyond your control. They're arbitrary. They don't work in your interest, at least not entirely. And the more eccentric you are, let's say, the more tyrannical culture will be to you. And so you're stuck with that. And then nature conspires to destroy you constantly and is going to do that with pain and anxiety and aging. And then there's the uncontrollability and darkness of your own psyche. And everyone faces those. Now, we face the positive elements of those too, the beneficence of culture, the beauty of nature, the glory of the human spirit. That's there as well. You have reasons to be deceitful, resentful, and arrogant, but it's not a good game unless you want to produce hell. You know, I took the idea that we were supposed to learn something from the horrors of the Second World War seriously. Never forget. Okay, you can't remember what you don't understand. So what are we supposed to remember? What are we remembering? The fact that all these people were murdered? No, we're supposed to remember that that was a revelation of the genocidal nature of the human psyche. That's partly why I'm so impressed, let's say, with the story of Cain and Abel. I dealt with that in my biblical lecture series and in my writings. You know, the first two human beings, according to the book upon which our culture is predicated for better or worse, the first two human beings, brothers, the adversary and the hero, the archetypal adversary and the hero, put right at the beginning of that amazing book, it's the beginning of history, Cain's sacrifices are rejected by God. Okay, well, how do we understand that? That's easy. Once you know the key, you make sacrifices to make the future better. Well, what if that doesn't pay off? Well, you know, think about that. You know what that's like. You endeavor to do something and it doesn't work. You're not appreciated for who you are. You fail. Maybe you failed despite your best efforts. Well, are you rejected by God? Well, it's as if you're rejected by God. Does it make you resentful? Does it make you bitter? Does it make you want to pull down the successful? Does it make you want to pull down the successful out of spite? Does it make you want to pull down the successful out of cosmic spite? The answer to that happens to be yes. You shake your fist at God. You say, oh, I'm going to harm those whom you blessed. And no wonder. It's no wonder. You know, it's harsh that the rewards of life are indiscriminately distributed. It's hard on everyone. But it doesn't help. It doesn't help to become bitter. And it's not like I don't understand the temptation. I mean, I think part of the reason I get away with being so bloody preachy is because I'm talking to myself. You know, it's not like I don't put myself in the boat of the damned and lost. We have to strive not to be wretched. There's something that doesn't seem fair about that. Why couldn't we just be happy being who and what we are? Why is it that we're punished if we don't strive? Well, I don't know. We're negentropic organisms, right? I mean, we have to maintain this incredible complexity in the face of a dissipating universe. It requires effort. It's the second law of thermodynamics, I believe. That's why we have to strive. Well, why is the world constituted that way? Couldn't I guess it's an infantile paradisal wish in some regard. Couldn't we just be rewarded for who we are? I can understand that. But I don't think that it works. I don't think that's how things, I don't think things function like that. And I don't think probably in the final analysis we really want them to. I don't know if anyone enjoys undeserved reward. You know, it feels kind of creepy, doesn't it, to be rewarded for something you didn't do? The positive emotion that we find sustaining is experienced in relationship to an unachieved goal. It's hope that drives us forward. We want something, and if we see ourselves moving towards that, then we're in the grip of the positive emotion that we find sustaining. It isn't the attainment. Attainment is satiating. Attainment shuts down the system that has been striving for that particular object of attainment. If you're hungry and you eat, you stop being hungry. Now, that's good because the hunger is gone, but that whole frame disappears. You can no longer strive within that frame, and you need a new frame to strive towards. And so technically, and this is well established as far as I'm concerned, we even know the drugs that people abuse, cocaine, let's say amphetamines, the ones that are potent sources of positive emotion, activate the system that regulates our emotional response to evidence that we're moving towards a desired goal. So cocaine, for example, is an exhilarating drug. It makes you feel that things are worthwhile because it hijacks the system that does make indicate that things are worthwhile. So this is deeply, this striving aspect is deeply rooted in our biology. Mm. For obvious reasons. Pick something, aim at it. As you move toward it, you'll get wiser. Then maybe your aim will change. That's okay. But at least it'll change in an informed way. It's like discipline yourself in one dimension. See what happens. The best we have might not always work, but it's still the best we have. And the fact that it might not work doesn't mean we should throw it away.
If you stand up and do something correctly, people who care about that sort of thing will notice. They will notice and they will open doors for you. That's how the world works. Don't underestimate the utility of proper action. The goal for young people is to turn themselves into someone, for each person to turn themselves into a person who stands up straight and who pays attention and who can think and who can speak and who can act in relationship to the highest good they can conceive of. And that, I believe that that's a way of being that's noble enough so that if it's enacted, it also takes the sting out of the tragedy of life. There's something noble about bearing up under a heavy load. And human beings have a heavy load, there's no doubt about it. Now the question is, can you build yourself up into something that's strong enough to lift that without complaint and without corruption? Well, that's a noble goal. That's what young people should be doing. They should have a conception of who they could be. And that conception should be something like, if I could be like that, everything would be worthwhile. That's what you want to aim at, because you want to make everything worthwhile. And so do it.
And this wraps up today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you felt moved by today's episode, feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or subscribe for future episodes. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you tomorrow.